Thank you so much, Pat and Dave, and thank you for everybody who worked to make this program a success. And before we go into the topic is chosen by God. Before we go, I'm going to just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and talk to us. Loving Father, we stand before you. I stand before you, just a lump of clay. I'm asking you, O God, to hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Use my mouth, O God. Put your words. And Lord, use my eyes. Show me your love through my eyes. Look at the congregation, Father God. I ask you to pour forth your Holy Spirit. You said if we ask that we are going to have. So today we ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit unto every person sitting in the congregation, that your heart, your word will go out and touch the heart and change lives. Lord, I cannot change any person. I cannot even change myself. But you can. So today we invite you, O Father God, to touch each and every one of us and change us through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, something about me before I begin, chosen by God. I was at 17 years old. I began teaching. My father died that July. And I really felt distraught because my father, unfortunately, was a big drinker. You know, he liked to drink. And he was a weekend drinker. Therefore, in the weekends, Friday afternoon, he will just drink. He will drink and drink and drink. Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, at 12 o'clock, he stopped drinking. He said that is to sober him for the week. But unfortunately for him, on that Sunday, you know, when you still have alcohol in your body, you're still not there. So he's sitting on his platform, because in the country you have like platform and veranda because it's hot. So he's sitting on his platform, and it was like 9:30 that night, Sunday night. We all have the announcement because we didn't have TV. You know, TV was something that's like, for me, it's foreign. So he's sitting there listening to the death announcements over the radio. And he fell asleep, you know. And when you're drunk and you fell asleep, it's double sleep. So he's sitting there in the platform, and then, I don't know, he nodded off and he fell down. He broke his neck and his back and he died. But he didn't die right away. When I heard that he's dead, was on the Friday, because we live far apart. And I was distraught. I was like, why, Lord? Why? You know, my father, he didn't accept your message. I know he's going to hell. And, you know, as a child, you're 17 years old, you're still a child. I mean, you could be 20 and still children, you know? And I started worrying and worrying and worrying and worrying. I would cry days and days and days. My friends told me, you know, Kate, why don't you go to camp meeting? Now, youth camp, we have to drive like 70 miles. And in my country, 70 miles is all day, right? And then you have to go down the river. That means you have to get another a boat to go down the river. So there was I. We went to camp meeting. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do at youth camp because I am so distraught about my father. I know I'm not going to learn anything new. Anyhow, I'll just go just to get away from home. So I went to youth camp. And at youth camp, is like 160 young people, ages like from 15 to like 20-something. You know, young people, full of nonsense. And I was full of nonsense too. And they would deploy us. Our church is like this church. Behind the church is where we cooked. We had a kitchen behind the church. The church served as the dining room, the social hall, and of course the church. We had a river where we went and get water to wash up, get water to clean up everything, water to cook. We get from the river. I was happy with there. So when the deployment, I always try to get my name on the kitchen list. See, when you're in the kitchen, you get a cook. You don't get to read your Bible, but you get a cook. You get to eat whenever you feel like eating. You get to experiment with food and give people, and they eat and they're happy. And you feel good. So I try to be deployed in the kitchen always. But this one day was a Thursday. We had finished cooking for lunch. And the person in charge of the kitchen said, Tate, why don't you go join them in the sanctuary? And I said, I don't really want to go. She said, go, you could sit at the back. So I said, okay. So I walked around and went to the back and I sat down. And as I sat down, I heard the preacher. And it was as though that preacher was looking directly at me at the back, as though I'm looking at June Roy. It was like he's talking to me directly. And whatever he was saying was coming from God. And he was just like opening his mouth. And the message was going straight to me and to my heart. And I stopped, you know, it was like that epiphany, that sudden awareness of what I am and where I am in this world and what God was willing to do for me, of what he had done for me. And I didn't recognize that he had done anything for me. All I was complaining about my father. God is showing me in that text. And all I heard the pastor say, he said, but you, and I'm like, I looked around, and the preacher said again, but you, and I said, well, he's talking to me. He said, you are chosen, and I said, wow. Now, let's look at that text again. 1 Peter 2:9-10. Now, we don't have the screen up, so we need to use your Bible. So please get your Bibles. 1 Peter 2:9-10 is good to get a word so that when you search the scripture for yourself, you know what is in the Bible. And God bless you. He said, blessed are those who read the word. Revelation says that. You get a blessing from reading the word. You get a blessing from finding the scripture. It's a blessing. Amen. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who would call you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were not a people, but now you are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's me. God is telling me that he has chosen me, ordinary me. Wow. Now let's look at what the pastor was saying before, because, you know, I wasn't listening before. I really wasn't listening. Because I was just there to wait, you know, until lunchtime. But let's see what's going on before. You know, when you look in English language, but is a conjunction and is a conjunction of contrast. I am going home, but I'm not going to stay. See, but means something else is going to contrast with the first statement. So let's look at the first statement. It says, so, but it shows the destiny. It is contrasting two destinies. The destiny of non-believer or the unbeliever and the destiny of the elect. I'm elect. I'm elected. You are elected. Let's look and see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says what? Peter says, putting aside all malice. He says, by the way, the unbelievers, they have a lot of malice. They have a lot of hatred. They have a lot of hypocrisy. They are wicked. But you are chosen out of them. You don't have that anymore because God has changed you. You are chosen. Now, I went to the dictionary in my school and I checked the word chosen. And this is the dictionary, a public school dictionary says, chosen means selected from or preferred above others, having been elected by God. In the dictionary, it says we are elected by God. And if you're elected by God, nobody can unelect you because you're already God's. Chosen. I'll give you a little story. This couple married like 15 years, cannot get babies. And they didn't want babies. They're rich, want babies. And then they decided it's time for us to get a little child. They went to the orphanage to get a baby, a child. They said, 5 years old? Thank you. So they went to get this 5-year-old child. And, thank you. The nuns brought them beautiful babies, because you know these are rich folks. You can't give them anything. They brought them big, nice 5-year-olds with blonde hair, blue eyes, everything perfect. Oh, this mother parent died in a crash. Oh, their IQs are very high. Oh, this is perfect. She can play the piano. She can do this, and she's only 5. But this couple was drawn to this raggedy little child that was deformed. Not only was the child deformed, the child was a drug baby. And those people were teaching, no, drug babies are hard to teach. They're wild. This couple wanted this baby. They wanted a 5-year-old. And the nun said, no, this child, drug. Mother drug, grandmother drug, everybody drug. You really don't want that child. That child, it's too much work. The couple said, we want that same child. The nuns tried to do other things. They said, we want that child. Our minds made up. We're going to take that child. And they took the child. You see, when our world went into sin, it was deformed just like that drug baby. And God wanted us. Out of all the worlds in the universe, where they have billions and billions of galaxies and billions and billions of little universes like our universe, God looked down in time and he said, let us make man. Let us have a universe and let us have a little world. And if anything happens, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to die. I choose to die for them. So chosen mean God elected even before time to come in flesh to die for us. I am chosen. You are chosen too. We need to act chosen. Now, the word chosen in Isaiah says, Isaiah 43:10 says, and God has a lot of chosen. In the Bible, if you read, check the word chosen, God has a lot because he knows that we needed to be reassured day after day after day that we are chosen by him. He says in Isaiah 43:10, he says, you are my witness. My witnesses, says the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no other God formed, nor will there be any after me. So we only have one God. Jehovah is his name. And he chose us, human beings. Now, Deuteronomy says that, for you are a holy people, Deuteronomy 4:2. If you'd like to jot these texts down and check them back, I'm okay with that. Deuteronomy 14:2 says, for you are a holy people to your Lord God. And God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples on the face of the world. Deuteronomy 7:6-8, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people. So he keeps on saying, and he keeps on reassuring us, that we are chosen. Because he knows that down the line, we are going to forget, just like the children of Israel. We're going to forget that we are chosen. We're going to act as though we're not chosen. Now Jesus, God has elected us. He said, we are elected. We are elected not based on any good thing that we have done. The Bible says our goodness are like filthy rags before God. And if you could think about rags in surgery, dirty, bloody, our goodness are like that. If you're a mechanic, all those dirty rags, we are worse than that. We are, our goodness is nothing for God. So we were not chosen because we are a lot in number, because we're not a lot. Look at us. We're not many in this church. We were not chosen because of our good looks. We're not pretty. Sin has got us ugly. We are not chosen because we were strong, because we are weak. We are not chosen because we are stronger, or we are smarter, or we study the Bible. He chose us because he wants to choose us. Do you understand that? He chose us because he wanted to. It's not because you have done something good. You know, when you have your little kids, you kind of give them something because they do something. Not with God. He gives us because he wants to give us. He chose us because he wants to choose us. And I thank God he chose us. Now we are chosen. John chapter 15 verse 16 said, Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I have chosen you." Now why did God choose us? So we are chosen. What are we going to do about it? John says, we are chosen to bear fruits. We are chosen to go out to talk about him. We are chosen to proclaim him. We are chosen to do his will. But of course, God will not choose us unless he will choose us. But then he gives us the power to say, "Lord, we don't want you." He will give us that will, the willpower to say whether or not we want to be chosen. Because he is a gentleman. He will not force his will on us. You know that, right? He is a gentleman. So now God has chosen us to bear fruits. We are this chosen generation. We look out and we see things happening in the world. We see more fighting and more fighting and still more fighting. We heard that Bush is going to bring the troops back home. And then yesterday he said, we're sending more troops. We see Lebanon, the Jews are attacking Lebanon, and Lebanon is like, don't know what to do. And we see Iran is saying, we want to help. And then we see Korea is saying, hey, we're going to bomb America. And we look and see what's going on, and then we know the time is coming. If we don't do something, we just would be the five foolish virgins. We know the truth. Satan knows the truth too. But what does Satan do with the truth? Nothing. We know the truth. What are we doing with the truth? What are you doing with the truth? What am I doing with the truth? Are we bearing witness to God? Kind of worrisome, huh? Now we are chosen to be royal priests. Last year, Prince Charles came, and guess what? Everybody went out in Marin area trying to get even a napkin that he wiped his mouth on. Every TV newscast was like, oh, Prince Charles did this. Oh, Prince Charles waved at me. Oh, I touched him. They were happy to do that. Are the people happy to do that when they see us? We are royal. Do they see Christ in us? Do they come to us and say, could you pray for us? Could you petition your God for us? Do they see Christ in you? Do they see Christ in me? I fail God a lot of times. Daily I fail him. Daily. Because every time self gets in the way. Every time self gets in the way. So every time I have to pray, Father, take self down. Because when self gets in the way, I'm not royal anymore. I'm not priest anymore. I am nothing. I'm just sinning and sinning and blaspheming the name of God because I'm a Christian. I'm not doing Christianity. If you say you're Christian, you got to be a Christian, right? And if you say you're Christian and you're not doing it, you're taking God's name in vain. And I do that Because not all of my, you know, forgive me, Father. You know, when I taught in elementary school, I had a motto, I have an affirmation that my kids say. And it says, raise your head high. You are the son or the daughter of the prince. You are the grandchild. You are the child of a great king. Yours is a great heritage. No one can take that from you. My students, normally they come in like this and slouch them. And when they say that, they straighten up. Because they now know they're prince and princesses. We are prince and princesses. We need to walk like prince and princesses. We need to talk like prince and princesses. We are children of Jesus. We need to talk about him. We need to share about him. We need to see people through Christ's eyes. We need to hear people through Christ's ears. So that whatever our perception is, we need to do away with that so that people can see Christ in us. Because we are chosen. We are royal. You know, sometimes, you know, when I got engaged to my husband, I left and I went to college, teacher's college. And he was like far away from me. Every morning we spend time on the telephone. Whether or not I had school, every morning we were on the phone before I went to school. And we wrote letters, love letters. We communicated a lot because that's my lover. Christ is our lover. Do we spend that time with him? Do we spend time communicating? Do we spend time reading his love letters? Or are we too busy? You're royal. You're priest. You got a job to do. You need to spend time with God, seeking his face, so that you can seek his hand. We are royal. We are special people. We are special because God chose us. He chose us to proclaim. Proclaim comes from the word to make a loud noise. To talk about him wherever we go. To make that conversation, whatever people are talking about, swing right around and talk about God. They might talk about the world market. Whatever they're talking about, it is our job to talk, to get in the conversation and move the conversation right to God. If you're in love with him, you need to talk about him every day, all the time. You need to let people know when they see you. They say, oh, she's going to talk about Jesus just now. She's a Jesus person. It's okay. Because we are special. God called us. He chose us to do that. Are we proclaiming the praises of God? You know, sometimes I wonder for me, do I proclaim the praises of God or do I spend time whining and complaining? I do. I'm a complainer and a whiner. But it's my dream, my hope, that God will move me from where I am now to where he wants me to be. And that when I open my mouth, before I complain, like last week it was so hot. I mean, it was so hot. I sat in my couch like this. I said, oh, it's too hot. I know I don't want to go to hell, Lord. I know because it's too hot. It's hot on earth. I don't want to go to hell. You know, and I complain. I said, Lord, send the air condition, you know. And God sent the air condition and the weather changed. And now it was cold yesterday. And somebody was complaining. I said, no, don't complain. Oh, don't complain. We know what hot is. Let's thank God now. Let's thank God. Whatever God has done for you, for me, he's done a lot. The place that God brought me from to where I am today is like, I don't know, for some people, they've never would live that. I can't stop talking about him. He has done a lot for me. He has done a lot for you. Each person got a story. Sometimes we forget to tell that story. But we need to tell the story so that others could learn that God is doing this. And if God could do it for Kate, who is a sinner, he surely can do it for me. And they too can look out for good things. And they too can praise God. Now, we shout praises. We give praise and thanks to God because that's our reasonable service. David in Psalms 50 said, whoever offer praises glorifies God. And God referred to David as a man from his own heart. Because you know David, his life was like in turmoil. Whatever he did, even when God chided him, guess what David did? Praised him. When we get problems, praise God. He said in all things, give praise and thanks to God, for that is the will of God. Now, David had this grandson, Hezekiah. You remember the story of Hezekiah? He got very ill and he prayed unto God. God said, put your house in order. Look, commission the next king. Let him take out your enemies. Whatever you got to do, you got to do because you're going to go down. No getting up for you. You're dying. He turned his face to the wall and he cried to God. God, help me, help me, God, help me. God saved him. The Babylonians came to visit him. Hezekiah, strong now. Babylonians come. Instead of taking them and talking about what God has done for him, he took them all over his kingdom, all the storehouses to show what he has. God didn't like that. When God has done something for us, it is for us to give him praise. It is for us to glorify his name. It is for us to say, God has done this for me, and I just want to praise him. I want to show you what God has done for me. I was very sick. I remember one time the doctor told me, oh, you're going to die. He told me that. And my son came. My son was with me at the hospital when the doctor said that. He said, your blood count is 3.0. The guy came in 2 days ago. He was 7 point something. He died. So you call the pastor and the elders to come to the hospital to pray and anoint you because you're going down. He told me that. And I smiled because I said to myself, God made me walk through to come to this hospital. God is going to see me through. And by the time I get up to the ward, the elders and Pastor Clatt, they were there. 3 days later, I walked out of the hospital. Because God has done that. It is not me. I did nothing good. It is not the elders nor the pastor. It is God. You know, I tell people about that. I tell people. I don't stop. Because God has done it. Proclaim it. He has brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once, I am a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. You are Gentiles too. We are a few Jews here. You know, until the message was given to the Jews, we wouldn't have been here. But the message is given to us, as well as the Jews. We've got eternal life in Christ Jesus. And it's for us to share that eternal life. It is for us to talk about it. It is for us to tell people Christ is coming soon. What are you doing about it? Some people, they're scared. But you know it. Talk about it. Raise the conversation. Let them know that God has chosen you to talk about it. He put you in your workplace, wherever you are. Wherever he has placed you, he has put you there to proclaim, to talk about him. He didn't put you there as a monument. No. He didn't put you there to be silent. No. He wants you to say, Christ is coming soon. What are you doing about it? Now, you know, God, as Jesus has paid his blood for my sins, for your sins. He left heaven, came down and he died. He died so that I might have salvation. You might have salvation. It's a gift. It's free. What are we doing about it? Are we going to share it? When he comes again, will there be stars in your crown? Will there be any person who will say, it's because of the message Brother so-and-so, Sister so-and-so spoke to me. That's why I'm here. Or would Jesus say, I don't know you. I really don't know you. Why are you here? You are not chosen by me. What will it be? You know, in Romans, and I need to do this text. Maggie, I need to do this text. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, it says, it is time for you, Adventist. It is time for you, ladies. It is time for you, men, you children, to wake up out of your sleep. For deliverance is nearer to us now than when first we believed. When I got baptized, they told me, somebody, the Jehovah's Witness came to me and they told me in 1976, Christ is going to come. 76 passed, right? They told me when it was 2000, they said, God is going to come 2000. You shouldn't even travel. 2000 came and passed. But guess what? We are getting closer and closer. What will it be for you? Are you going to get some oil in your lamp? Or are you going to be the foolish virgin that just fall asleep and snoring and Christ come and then you get busy trying to get oil? What are you going to do? Are you going to go out and work night? This is night. In the country, if you can think about it, in my country, you can see the sun rising in the horizon and the trees are there and you could see the sunlight just bursting through the trees. That's daybreak. That's how Jesus' coming is going to be. It's darkness now, but Christ is coming. What is going to be for you? Is he going to find you waiting for him? Are you going to be one who said, this is my God? Or are you going to be one who said, rocks, hide me, hide me. I cannot bear the light. What is it going to be, Christians? It would be ashamed if we come here Sabbath after Sabbath and we lose eternal life. It would be a shame. It would be a shame if those who were, of us who were preparing for him. You know, Sean Bunsha told us a story that this guy, he was working with his mechanic place and he had on his overalls and his boss, they were supposed to go somewhere and the boss said, get ready. And he said, I'm ready. Let me just do this. He said, get ready. He said, I'm ready. He said, but get ready. We're going in 2 minutes. I'm ready. And the guy said, well, okay, I'm going. He said, okay, I'm going too. He pulled off the overall. Guess what? He was ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, what happened to me at camp meeting? You want to know what happened to me at camp meeting? Remember I said I was sleeping or snoring or whatever? I was in my own world. When I heard the pastor said, but you are chosen. And I knew that God in his mercies had taken out the earplug from my ear. And he had anointed my eyes with eye salve. And that he had put a new heart in my heart. I knew then that God had chosen me. And right away when the pastor said, would you accept Christ as your personal savior? No, I was baptized before. I was baptized. But when the pastor said, would you accept Christ as your personal savior so that he can pour forth his Holy Spirit and bless you? I knew if nobody else stood up, I had to stand up because God was talking to me personally. I accepted God in my heart and God changed my life. He changed me so much. I still fall, but when I fall, he picks me up. When I stumble, he holds me. When I say, Father, I can't go farther, He said, baby, I'm going to put you on my shoulder. And when there's pain, I said, Father, help me. He said, lean your head on my chest. I'm there for you. And right through my life has been up and down, up and down. But in the ups, my ups are more than my downs. And then when I'm in down, he lifts me up. And I thank God that I serve a God who has chosen me. He has chosen you, he said. But you are chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you, me, may proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Could we stand for prayer? Father God, I just thank you, Father, that you have chosen us. We are not here today just by guess or by chance. It's because you have chosen us to come here to hear your word. You have chosen us and you have blessed us with so much blessings that we don't even have room to put it. And Father God, as you have chosen us, anoint our feet and our lips that we'll go forth and talk about you and share you so that those who do not know you, Lord, that they will know that you are God and there's none other. Give us a sense of urgency to know that the time is so at hand when you are going to come. And Lord, as with urgency, let us be ready and gird ourselves with the breastplate and with the shoe and the full armor of God so that we can go forth boldly into the world to talk about you and to preach your word. Thank you, God, for choosing us. Thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.